to
You Haven't Seen.
I'm Debbie.
And I'm Ashley.
This is a podcast where we watch both of us haven't seen before, but everyone else seems to have, and then we talk about them. Today, continuing our From the Vault theme, aka movies that we have on DVD underneath our TV in our apartment right now, today we are watching The Sandlot.
Which I've never seen before.
No, but this is a movie that I have seen because it is, I mean, my dad likes it, you know, and so I saw this when I was young, probably because we were wandering a family video, like, what movie do you want to see? And my dad went, oh, hey, The Sandlot! And then we watched it, and I like it, it's a fun one.
I mean, I know, like, You're Killing Me, Smalls.
Yeah.
I say that a lot without having seen the film. I know there's a big dog.
There is a big dog.
I know the s'mores thing, because you did the s'mores thing to me. You got very angry when I didn't realize.
I was doing the whole, like, you take the marrow, like, the whole thing, and Ashley didn't get it.
It's a marshmallow.
You just looked at me like I was a crazy person, and I was like, yeah, we're making s'mores. And I was like, no!
Because everyone knows how to make s'mores.
Yeah, I know. That's the thing. I was making a reference. Wasn't so much making a reference as I was reciting what he said. I was monologuing and you didn't appreciate it. Okay.
I just wanted to eat the goddamn s'more.
Well. Oh boy. Anyway. So,
I don't know much about this film other than, like, bits and pieces of the film that has become, like, pop culture. But, like, popular knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, the plot and stuff, I'm like, it's just me swinging in the dark. For what I think it's
about. Well, it is about baseball, so that was a good...
Pun intended.
A good one. Yeah, pun was intended now.
Oh, it was intended. Please don't.
Okay. Anyway. Yeah, it was directed by David M. Evans, according to IMDb, as David Mickey Evans. So he was one of the ones that, like, changed his name halfway through his career. And he also wrote it along with Robert Gunter.
Oh, the old Gunter.
Yep. This movie came out in 1993. So I was two. There is a Sandlot 2, but that one's terrible and we never speak of it.
Oh, is that like Grease 2?
Yeah, it came out in 2005.
Wow.
And it looks to be the same plot. And oh my gosh, well, they added in a girl in Sandlot 2 and there's still like the fat ginger kid and whatnot. They basically like copied the Sandlot and just stuck it
to it. Is there a girl in the Sandlot?
No, there's not a girl in the Sandlot. And so we are, yeah, the main character is Smalls.
You're Scotty killing Smalls. Me, Smalls.
Killing me, Smalls.
I know that. I know it's like a cult classic in terms of like it shaped a lot of people's childhoods with like Goonies and Sandlot.
Yeah, yeah. I was Stand by cult Me. Classic.
Yeah, like those movies tend to shape kids' childhoods. And I feel like if you don't hit it at the right time, I don't know. I'm interested to see how this works. Because for some reason, I just never watched any of these films when I was a kid.
Mm.
I was, you know, watching Fellini.
Sorry, I'm looking at IMDb trivia. There's some good stuff we'll have to touch on later. Yeah, so I'm trying to find...
Taglines.
The taglines. Oh, here we go.
Am I reading the taglines?
No, I mean, This might be more for my reading voice instead of your creepy one. Well, I mean, but it's like, the adventures of a lifetime, the summer of their dreams, the dog of their nightmares.
It's a big dog!
Right? Yeah, big dog. I don't know if this one was real, so I might have to fact check this. I'm skeptical. They're more than a team. They're the best buddies in the entire history of the world.
I don't know.
That one cannot be real.
That one has to be real.
A piece of paradise, a half block wide, and a whole summer long.
Can I do one? Is that
That's all of them. All
right.
Yeah, sorry. Okay, we'll do the Best Buddies one.
Okay, there we are. They're more than a team. Hold on. Sorry, let me try again. They are more than a team. They are the best buddies in the entire history of the world.
See, I don't think your voice works very well.
No, it doesn't.
Stand that.
So it's not, it doesn't have...
Because it's not an action movie. You need buddy comedy voice.
No, I'm buddy comedy voice. I only have death-defying voice.
Luckily, I have the buddy comedy voice. Okay, anyway, now that we've delved into our expanding voice acting careers, I think we should just watch this.
Yeah, let's watch it.
Woohoo!
You're killing me, Smalls.
Hello, we are back. We've watched The Sandlot.
We have.
It's like, okay, the thing about The Sandlot, this movie isn't like, oh, here's the plot, like, be sure to follow it. It's like The Goonies or something, where you're just like,
it's just like,
it's a bunch of stupid kids, man.
Right, it's just a bunch of kids and their exploits over the summer. So, like,
yeah.
The main plot is that these kids have a summer vacation.
Yeah, it's like, this is what they do the first summer that the main character, Smalls, lived in this neighborhood. And all his neighborhood buddies, they all played baseball every day, and then they get into, what was it? The biggest pickle.
The
biggest pickle. And in case we forgot that it was the biggest pickle, they just kept saying
it. I have never heard pickle be that, used that much in a film.
Yeah.
Because it was just every, like, maybe 15, 20 minutes, they were like, oh, just in case you forgot, the big pickle's coming up. They're like, we got a
big
pickle this summer.
Apparently the narrator of the film is the writer and director.
I figured. It's a little...
It's just like... I was just like, okay, this clearly was a passion project for this man. But, so as I just thought the language of the voiceover... It's just so cute, though, because it's so, like...
It's, like, stupid.
I think it's meant to be that way, where it's, like, you're just meant to like this guy, because he says things like goofus, you know?
That's... I don't know if like is the right word.
You're supposed to like, because, oh, see, I'm like, this guy's just such a dweeb. Like, you just feel bad for him, or any, like, and that's why the stupid stuff he does in the beginning, where it's just like, oh.
The voiceover or the character?
The character.
Oh, I thought we were just talking about the voiceover.
The voiceover is the main character.
I know, but just the voiceover itself, the language that the voiceover artist uses, because he is an adult telling this story.
Yeah.
It's just like... really crappy Wonder Years style narration.
See, I think it's supposed to endear you to that character. So then when you see him being when you just see him being an idiot when he's a kid, you're like, oh no, that's just how he is. Like, he's not, like, just a weird kid. He's just, like...
He's a weird person.
He's a grown man and just says things like pickle and goofus, you know? I think it's endearing. And lousy. He said lousy. And there are so many things where I just wrote down where I was just like, he said a word. What was it at the end? Oh, I forget. Oh, he liked to say the phrase, beat the crap out of him.
Yeah.
That was a repeat offender. Yeah. Okay, anyway, so Smalls moves in, has a pretty sketchy stepfather, I gotta say.
I feel like... when you immediately cast Dennis Leary as the stepfather, like, as soon as I saw him, I was like, oh, he's not going to be a good stepfather.
No. And the thing is, where it's like, I feel like, because this movie is set, I think, like, summer 1962 is when it's supposed to be set. I feel like the stepfather is just such, like, the stereotypical, like, nuclear family dad.
Yeah.
You know? Where it's like, okay, honey, like, staying on the table at 6 or whatever.
But not even, like, he doesn't even talk enough to, like, have a character.
Which may be just because, I mean, Smalls is probably just so scared of him all the time.
Yeah.
That it's just, like, that's probably all he knows about him.
Right.
He's never worked up the nerve to talk to this man that his mom married.
Yeah, that's the thing. I feel like when you cast Dennis Leary, you get Dennis Leary.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard to be like, oh, no, it's the same way if you cast...
I think he fits the character well, though, because he's supposed to be, like, just this intimidating guy, where it's like, yeah, I can see why this kid's scared of this man.
Yeah.
Okay, so, yeah, Smalls, like, goes to the Sandlot, which is the empty lot where the kids play baseball, and they all make fun of him. Because admittedly, he's wearing the dumbest hat and, like, the pants and, like, his whole getup.
He just looks like a dork.
He looks like a dork. And then, but they all make fun of him. And I'm like, okay, these kids are not cool. They're, like, they're a bunch of nerds. And The only thing that they have going for them is that they have each other and they all play baseball together. If they didn't have that, I don't think any of these kids would have friends.
I think some of them might.
Oh, okay, that's
but,
true. Some of them are relatively normal.
Right, but no, but on the whole, but the problem is Smalls just comes in. Like, just, like, weird. Like,
yeah,
he's
just
weird.
Doing the clap thing, and he just randomly, like, scooches out into the middle of the outfield, like, maybe I can just join the game
right. And
no one will notice me here. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah, and the thing, like, I knew this was about baseball.
Yeah.
I hate baseball.
Baseball's boring.
I don't understand it. It's boring.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, it's long and slow and, ugh. And it's just ripe for cliches. It's not even, a good baseball movie hasn't happened in forever. Because it can't. A good baseball movie cannot happen anymore.
This wasn't meant to be. You know what this movie was meant to be. And it accomplished it. Okay, it was meant to be a warm, feel-good movie. We can't break this down like it was a critical masterpiece here. Like, it was never supposed to be. It was supposed
but
to be
is.
A silly, fun movie about a bunch of kids one summer. Like,
but it's
not like, a psychoanalyze.
I'm not a psychoanalyze. I just get, I hate, like, I just hate.
You don't like sports movies.
I like sports movies.
Yeah. You haven't seen Remember the Titans.
Yes, I have.
Oh, that wasn't you. No.
Yes. I like Miracle.
Okay.
That was a good hockey. That's a really good hockey film.
This is a fun movie, though. It's fun. It's supposed to be fun.
I will say, I did, like, I laughed during the film.
It's
I did
to be
enjoy
a
it.
Feel good flick. A feel good flick.
I hate that. But I will say, I will never watch this film again.
Fair enough. I love it. I own it. So get prepared. I'll just be playing in the background.
Just gonna walk in on you, like.
I'm gonna be like, my childhood. But,
so they all make fun of Smalls.
They all make fun of Smalls. He runs away. And, okay, when his mom comes in and is like, honey, why haven't you made friends yet? Like, wow, lay off him. Do you know how hard it is to make friends, especially when you've pissed off every single kid in the neighborhood? Like, and when she goes, because she doesn't even say, like, hey, have you met anyone? She goes, do you have friends? Like, wow! What? No, lady.
I think that's cute. I thought that was just, like, her caring.
I think it's her caring, but it's just, like, it's hard to make friends sometimes, man. And then she goes, I want you to have lots of friends. But it's like, now she's not even happy with just one. Like, I feel like she's putting a lot of pressure on this kid to be like, are you a social butterfly yet? Prom king? Huh?
Well, I think she says she doesn't want him to spend all summer in his room.
That's true. But she could, and I think the mom is cute.
I love Karen Allen.
She's just so, like, come outside, get dirty. I'm like, oh.
I love her.
Go for it. And they do get dirty. Like, the scenes where the boys are just running around, like, they all look filthy. They must smell terrible.
I will say, this movie made me anxious at times.
Why?
Just because there are so many kids, and they're all boys, and I was just like, that had to be the worst job ever. Ever.
What, hurting these children?
Just being on set.
Apparently.
Because they all look like.
According to IMDb, it was shot in 42 days.
Those must have been the longest 42 days ever, because all of them just look like. There are definite scenes where, like, one is just, like, looking at something shiny out of frame, and you know that they were like, hey, focus.
I mean,
we're
a lot
acting.
Of these kids, though, it's because I was looking them up as the movie was playing, like, they were all, like, 12-ish. So it's like, they're not morons. And then they were all, like, they were all acting. So it's like...
But there's... You get, like, 12-year-olds... It's still, like, that boy...
Probably...
Baseball
oh,
mentality.
Okay, here's where I can insert an IMDb fun fact. I guess, the director had the actors who play Smalls and Benny, meet and rehearse together, like, a week or two before the rest of the kids. And so all the other kids thought, like, oh, these guys know each other, apparently. I think stories like that are fun, though. But it's like how, in Saving Private Ryan, when they made everyone go to boot camp but Matt Damon. But they did the reverse thing here. Fun fact.
So, I'm surprised that Smalls is still alive.
Yeah, me
he's
too.
Just, like...
He seems like the type of person who would just kind of haphazardly, like, walk into the path of a moving bus.
He is the feminine lead in any rom-com. Like, he just, like, falls.
Yeah,
like, where the hell did you go?
Oh, I have a question. Why, like, I know it's a thing to put the raw steak on the eye.
Yeah.
But why is that? Does that work?
Yeah, I think it's just cold.
Okay.
And there's something about the proteins.
Is it? I don't know, because when you do that, I was like, that always reminds me, because it's like...
Again.
The other cliche is like, you know, put a frozen pack of peas on it. But it's like, I get that because it's cold,
right.
But why the raw meats? That was funny when he just like slaps an entire steak on that poor kid's face.
That is the thing, because Dennis Leary and Smalls go out to play catch.
Yes.
And Smalls gets hit in the eye with a baseball.
Yeah.
And Dennis Leary was legit, has never played catch with this kid before, and was throwing overhand.
Yeah.
So I was like, dude, like, give him two underhands to start him off.
Well, and the
judge,
thing is,
like,
I like it. I was writing this down, like, because later Benny does teach Smalls how to throw and catch. But I like how he literally has to tell him, like, this is how you catch something. Because all he says is, just stick your hand out. And I'm like, yeah. And when he teaches him how to throw, he goes, start back here. When you get to here, let go. I'm like, oh, yes, that is exactly how you throw something. That is exactly how. And so I can honestly see why the stepdad would be like, I should not have to spell out to this kid how one throws something. Like, I can completely understand why he thinks surely he knows how to throw something.
Right.
Surely he can grasp that concept, but apparently not, because Smalls is terrible at catch.
An idiot.
And he wears that stupid hat.
And the stupid clothes. The clothes in this movie are insane.
Yeah, they cuff their pants so much. I do want to try rolling the cuffs of t-shirts.
I like that.
Yeah,
that's,
I like
cool.
that too. I was like, I like this. Continue.
So Benny takes Smalls under his wing and
yes.
brings Smalls into the group. So now they have 9 players. They have a real team.
Yeah.
So... and then, basically, like, now we're in the summer.
Yeah.
So, the team...
I do want to say something, is that when Benny's like, yeah, come out with us, you know, 8 o'clock tomorrow. These kids meet at the Sandlot at 8 a.m. every morning during the summer. Like, that sounds awful to me. I just made a connection, like, that is super early in the summer... These kids are meeting up, but that's fine. Anyway. Oh, and this is when they mention the Great Bambino for the first time. When he's meeting all of the kids.
Mm-hmm.
And Smalls doesn't know who Babe Ruth is. And to be perfectly honest, like, I did not know that his nickname was the Great Bambino until I watched this movie. And then I was like, oh, those must be all of his names. But when he writes down, like, baseball, he writes down on a little notepad, baseball things to remember, and then he writes Great Bambino ? And I just realized, oh, I guess he can't just look that up. But he would have to go to the library and get a book and look up Great Bambino, or call into the library and ask them.
And just
something.
Ask his parents, because his dad is, stepdad's into baseball.
Yeah. It's just like, I just wrote down... That sucks. He can't just look that up.
Yeah, so he becomes a part of the team. So
yes.
Now he's a part of the team. And basically now just starts a series of
events leading up to the ball getting lost.
And leading up to the pickle.
Leading up to the giant pickle. The biggest pickle. So first series of events is they hit a ball over the fence into the beast, the yard that the beast is in, this giant dog. And so the first series of events is Smalls learns about the beast. And they're camping out in the treehouse, and Squints is relaying the story to everyone in a very dramatic fashion. And he starts off being like, years ago, like so long ago, like 20 years. I was like, oh yes, that's ancient. You, like, real long time ago, and then he ends up forever, and I wanted to say that the only reason I love that is because I went to, the summer camp I went to, there was, like, a drama program, so I did that one summer, and direction I got was, like, in the script, like, forever, and then in quotes, like, Squints, like,
yeah.
Like the Sandlot, and everyone's just like, oh, okay, like the Sandlot, got it, or it was like, so, yes, Apparently, everyone in the Midwest in the late 90s had watched this movie.
Oh my gosh.
Enough so that, like, the theater director at this camp was like, you know what? Say it like the Sandlot. And everyone went, okay, yeah, we can do that.
So also in the camp out is where they hear the story about the Beast.
Yes.
Which is a mythical dog that was bought for a Sandlot and the, or for a junkyard, and they fed the dog, like, huge chunks of meat, and the dog became giant and started to eat people.
Yes.
And ate thieves, robbers, children, and then was locked up in his backyard. And this is also the s'mores scene.
Yes. This is the s'mores scene. He's like, s'more what? I haven't had anything yet. You're killing me, Smalls!
Which I actually thought "You're killing me, Smalls" was said more, because it is such an iconic line.
Yeah.
But it said, like, once, and I was like, I probably would not have picked up on that if I watched it.
No.
So after the camp out scene,
I think it's the pool.
Yep. So then they go to the pool, and the it's basically
Squints has a crush on the lifeguard. Where apparently this lifeguard Wendy, sits up in a little lifeguard chair in her adorable swimsuit.
It's a lifeguard swimsuit.
I was like, no, but the way it's, like, had the little show. I love the vintage style swimsuits. I was like, she looks super cute. And then her cool sunglasses, and apparently just never stops applying some tan lotion or oil.
I don't think
skin.
She did it that much.
That's all she was doing when she was sitting in the chair.
They only showed her once.
No.
And then the other time she was just sitting.
The entire time, like, I don't know. I was just remember thinking, like, and she's still sunburned. Like, clearly, she's missing spots. But so Squints has a huge crush on Wendy, who I think is supposed to be in high school.
She does not look like she's in high
school. No, but what high schooler on screen does.
But if these kids are fifth graders, there's no way in hell she's a sixth grader.
No, she's in high school.
Right, but she has to be so much older than them.
I think she's probably like a junior or senior in high school. Or maybe, like, on, like, biggest stretch, she's, like, maybe, like, a sophomore in college.
But, spoiler alert, they get married later.
So yes, they do.
This, so she...
Squints just must be really good in bed.
Right, so she marries, like, a guy who's, like, 5 years.
That's nothing.
No, but, I don't know.
I think it's fine. It was, like, I would, I don't think it's that big of an age, it doesn't matter.
Well, if it's Squints...
Squints is just a weird kid. But, so Squints,
Can't swim.
And just can't take it anymore, so he goes to the deep end of the pool and jumps off the diving board so that Wendy will give him mouth-to-mouth, and then he kisses her, and she kicks everyone out of the pool.
She bans them for life.
Bans them for life. And then Small, like, the voiceover is like, he's lucky she didn't beat the crap out of him. Like, yeah, he is. He is lucky that she did not do that.
She definitely tried to yank his arm out a couple times.
Yeah. I was like, this kid's a little beanpole, so I'm like, I'm surprised that shoulder stayed in his socket.
Yeah.
Because she was yanking him around. And everyone throws their clothes out of the locker room. Because I get the feeling that this group of guys is just like, oh yeah, you know, that crowd, like that gang. So I could see everyone, like, someone running into the locker room being like, oh my gosh, the Sandlot kids are getting kicked out of the pool. Like, throw their stuff after them. But, yeah, that's a pretty iconic scene, I guess, when everyone knows about this magic woman.
I will say the soundtrack for this film is quite good. I mean, the songs, like, they hit at the right moments, and they're really good.
Yeah, it's a good soundtrack.
And it helps. It's not like the songs are just like, you know, like an American Graffiti type thing where they're like, these are the hits of the times to get you, like, into the 1960s.
Yeah.
It's like, no, each song, like, helps progress. It's almost like it's a nice song for the chapter because it is a lot of chapters in this.
Yes.
So, like, once we're done with the pool, then we go on to the...
The 4th of July.
4th of July.
Yeah. Which, and I just gotta say, 4th of July always looks so much cooler in movies. It really is. Like, the fireworks always look so much better. And the only time I've seen fireworks that was like, this is, like, what it is in the movies is, I think, 6 years ago, the state of Illinois, or, like, the city of Springfield, got a grant from the government for several tens of thousands of dollars to get fireworks on one New Year's Eve. And this fireworks show lasted for an hour.
Oh my gosh.
An hour. And it was amazing.
Sure.
And that is the only time I've seen fireworks where it's like, yes, this is what movies have led me to expect. Thank you, Uncle Sam, for giving us tens of thousands of dollars for no reason buy fireworks. And so, like, while this is going on, we're just constantly being reminded of how good of a baseball player Benny is.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Benny's life, there's no way Benny's life ever got better than this.
No.
Like,
well, I mean, maybe when he was a professional baseball player.
Like, but still, even then, like, they just, he could stab one of them, and all of them would just be like, oh, Benny touched me.
Well, that's the thing, because, like, later when Babe Ruth appears to Benny in the dream, and is like, you gotta go get that ball back, Babe Ruth says to him, like, you know, this, like, much later, Babe Ruth basically, like, goes and says, like, this is a sign, like, everyone does a great thing once in their life, like, this is it for you. So Babe Ruth basically tells Benny, like, kid, this is your peak.
Yeah.
This is the best thing you will accomplish in your entire life, and it's jumping over a fence and getting baseball. But that's further on.
So it's 4th of July.
Yeah.
Basically, it's the one night they can play outside.
Yes.
Cool.
Of the fireworks.
Right. It's awesome.
Moving right along.
Then we go to the rival team.
Yes.
Which I thought was going to be so much more. Was not.
Well, because they ride on their bikes and they're all wearing their Little League uniforms, and it's just like, what did you say? Like, I don't know. Actually, it's like, whoa, who are these guys? And I'm like, don't get too excited.
Well, I originally thought that this movie was like a Bad News Bears.
No.
Where it's like a ragtag versus, and the dog just is somehow in there.
Nope.
But no, I mean, they roll up, they let Han be the spokesperson. And basically, they just trade insults at each other. And then they're like, well, we challenge you to...
like a girl.
And they're like, well, we challenge you to a game. And they're like, all right, at the Nice Field. And it's like, oh, it's now like rich kids versus middle class kids.
Yeah, and they beat them. They wipe the floor with them.
But like, all you see is all of them strike out three people,
yeah.
And then you see all of the kids hit home runs,
and
basically.
And slide unnecessarily into the plate, and then it's like, woo, they won.
Right.
I was like, because that's not the point of it. It's just,
no,
okay.
This is
it. I think it was just like a reminder of like, oh, by the way, these kids do this every day, but they are actually all good at baseball, just in case. Because like, honestly, at some point you just kind of wonder, like, are these kids even good? Or are they just like playing against each other and only good against each other?
No, I mean, it does show that, like, you know, they're really good baseball players. Like, all of them are.
I like that Ham smack talks everyone while he's at the plate.
While he's at the catcher's?
Yeah, he's the catcher, and he's the fat ginger kid's nickname is Ham. So he's just sitting, he goes like, 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. Like, 3 pitches, 3 strikes. Just, like, trash talking constantly in the background. I'm like, oh, kid, everyone wants to punch you.
Yeah. But he's, like, the unofficial spokesperson. Like, Benny can't talk.
No.
He just smiles and, like, ribs at the team.
He looks very confused before he speaks.
Right. But Ham is the one that's like, okay.
Yeah. Squints is the one who will just, like, angry outbursts come from Squints. And then, like, the voice of the team. And then it's like, Squints says something. Ham goes, shut up. This is what we really mean.
So, after they win, they kick the rich kids' butts,
yes.
Which you don't even see, like, defeat on the rich kids' faces or anything. It's
yeah.
just like, slide, slide, and we won, and we're at
yeah,
the carnival.
We're at the fair. Yeah, so, they're at the fair.
So, basically, they go to a carnival.
Yeah.
And at the carnival, they're like, oh, man, we gotta, like, we're living the high life. They won. They're incredible.
Yeah,
top of the world.
The tall kid in the group has a box of chewing tobacco. And so all of these kids put an entire, like, fistful of chewing tobacco in their mouths and then go on a whirly ride.
Which results in all of them throwing up.
Small swallows it.
Yeah, it's gross.
Like, oh, bad decision. I don't understand how chewing tobacco ever got popular. Because I don't understand how it's so unattractive if someone's just chewing something all the time, you know?
Yeah, but I guess you can't like smoke cigarette on the baseball field?
I guess, yeah, I know why they did it. I know why it got popular, but I just don't understand, like, and I know, like, the nicotine would give them a buzz. So it's like, but I just don't understand the appeal of it. Where it's like, oh, I just want to, like, essentially, like, chew cud in my mouth all the time. That's disgusting.
Oh, that is the best use of music, too. It's, they play Tequila. By Herb Albert.
See, that's the thing, is I do not know the name of the song. I just, like, but everyone knows this song.
Right, because it's in Pee Wee's Big Adventure.
I've never seen that.
Oh.
I think Pee Wee's super creepy.
That's a discussion for another time.
Yeah, okay.
But it's just a song that that song can either be used really well or it can be used terribly.
Yeah.
I thought this was a really good instance.
80% of the time it was just used terribly.
Right. It's like, oh, they're drinking tequila. And it's like, oh. But this is good because they were spinning and there were lights and everyone slowly got more sick.
Yeah, and then those two guys on the date. Just like, I went, okay, was it Yaya or someone? Like, one of the guys just spits out those water chewing tobacco, and the guy in the thing behind him just has his face of, oh my! And he, like, brings his hand up to his face. You can tell where he's like, okay, extras! Like, now! Oh, heavens!
They all throw up at the carnival, and then Small's dad goes out of town for a week.
For a week, to Chicago.
To Chicago. And he says, you're the man in charge. I'm gonna be gone a week. See you later.
Yeah. And then they get a brand new baseball, and Benny hits it so hard that, like, he knocks the stuffing out of it.
Yeah, the casing falls off.
The casing falls off. And everyone's like, that's amazing. And Benny goes, no, we can't play no more. One track mind, this kid. And so Smalls, like an idiot, is like, I have a ball. And the ball he's referencing is a baseball that his stepdad got from his father that was signed by Babe Ruth. So, a very expensive treasure that he goes and steals and then hits into the beast's yard.
He hits it, Smalls hits his first home run.
Yes.
And hits it over the fence into the beast's yard.
And then, and so he goes to second and then keeps walking the outfield because now he's traumatized. And him just comes up and goes, you forgot to turn! And I was like, we don't have a hand in our little circle of friends, do we? We don't have someone who's just blatantly stating the obvious all the time. Maybe we should fill that void.
We're accepting vacancies.
Yes. Form an orderly queue.
So now begins, the pickle has been reached.
Yeah, the pickle has begun.
This is pickle.
This is peak pickle, man.
That we have been hearing about for the last hour.
And like, because also, just throughout the movie, like, when they get the baseball that he knocks the stuffing out of and they mention the pickle again, the camera cuts to, like, a dog on the wall of the, you know, department store. And it's just like, oh, gee, I wonder what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Does it have to do with the beast? I wonder.
Like, the pickle is just, like, any time where you're like, oh, this is a nice, like, coming-of-age story. They're like, did you forget about the pickle?
Oh,
the pickle's
it's
up.
Coming. But, so, Smalls finally learns who Babe Ruth is. And I have written down too many nicknames. There's too many. And just lest we forget, guys, Babe Ruth was a big deal.
Yes.
Just like,
I don't know if that's up for debate.
Well, I mean, just, like, as a kid who knew nothing about professional baseball and quite frankly didn't care, most of what I knew for the longest time was like, oh, I hear Babe Ruth's a pretty big deal. Because it's just like this, if you didn't know a thing about baseball and then you watch this movie, you would come out just being like, I don't know anything except for 75 of Babe Ruth's nicknames. That's it.
Yeah, so they're like, so they all yell at Smalls for bringing out Babe Ruth's baseball.
Yes, and actually played with it.
And Smalls thinks that it's a girl. He's like, I don't know, some girl signed it.
Yeah.
Babe Ruth. And everyone like freaks out.
Oh my gosh.
Woo. So now the plan is in action. They gotta get the ball.
Yeah. The narrator says it started out primitively. Or by primitively, it means it started out with a broomstick. And then worked away from there. And these guys, it's too much teamwork going on. Because they have and too much communication, too much teamwork, where it's like we have five guys on the broomstick. There's like a relay of messages before they can do anything. All of these, like, they could have gotten the ball with a broomstick if they had just like reached under and knocked it their way. But instead, there's like three of them, and one guy's on lookout. They have like one of those what's it with the mirror so you can see over the fence?
Telescope or periscope?
Periscope. Yeah, they have a periscope guy where it's like, guys, this is too much. I think you're overthinking this.
Yes, I think so. I thought this movie was very interesting because the group, the Sandlot group, is rarely seen without the entire group.
Yeah.
Like, there's never a moment where, like, Benny and Smalls sit down and, like, have a conversation. Or Ham and Smalls. They are always in the same frame. Like, they are always there.
It's all of them together.
So it's just, like, I don't think they was ever, like, thoughts of being like, I think there are too many people. It's like, no, this is...
Well, I think they function best as a unit.
Yes.
Also, because, I mean, like, they don't make stupid... They don't make any, like, wise decisions. Stupid decisions are rampant, whether they are by themselves or all together. But it seems like there's less stupid decisions being made when they're all together. So I can understand why they, like, it's like, okay. You know, but so it starts off with a broomstick. And then they get... like a metal thing where it looks like a street sign, but I think it maybe was from his like Kinect science kits. And then they tape a pan to it, and then they steal three vacuums and try to suck it up.
And the beast thwarts them every
time. Yeah, every time.
Which, this is the most fun that dog has ever had.
Oh, yeah.
Because if you think about it, like when you play with the dog,
so
it's like. Pull it out. Nope.
Yeah.
You know, pull it out.
This dog, this is the best week this dog has ever lived. And then, okay, so after the vacuums, because it blows up in the treehouse, and it's like Tommy and Timmy are the two brothers. I forget which one it is, but the older one comes out and is like, we've been going about this all wrong. I blame myself. It's like, this kid has seen some things, man.
It's like, we have to attack from the sky.
Yeah, so they put Yaya, and they lower him down. And then, so he has a very traumatic, I'm sure, near-death experience with the beast.
Is it Yaya or Yaya?
Oh, I always say Yaya, but I think it's Yaya. I don't know. Because I think it is Yaya, but I always just call him Yaya. Yeah, it is Yaya. I'm going to keep saying Yaya. And then...
So they lower him down, and he has the ball.
Yeah,
and the beast
attacks him. It like an idiot. Like a moron. He had one job. Screwed it up. And then after that is,
when they do the Kinect assessment.
Yeah, man versus science. No, it's not man versus science, it's nature versus science. Nature versus science, guess who wins? It's not science. But this is where they all have little helmets, and I have written down, dress for the job you want. And this is because science was, they lowered a catapult over the fence, and then to fling the ball back, and the dog appears and snaps it, and Ashley jumps.
Well, no, here's the thing. Wait, hold on. So here's what happens, is... they have a robot with a catapult on it.
Yes, they lower a catapult down.
Yeah. So, the ball is in the catapult, and they fire the catapult.
Yes.
And then you cut to Benny, and he's like, I got it, I got it. And at that point, I had been saying, why don't they just throw it over the fence? And so I was like, oh, good, we're done.
The
and
dog
then
comes
all of a sudden, the dog, like, jaws. And it's just like... like flying through the air, gets like bites the ball in the air and just
like,
falls.
Like he swallows it.
It was just the last thing I expected for it was to like beach like a whale and just like. I was like
Ashley jumped. I was just like, oh my god! I laughed. It was a good time was had by all. I'd say.
But I was just like, I can't. I at that point I couldn't believe that it was gonna continue on because I was like, okay, we got it done, and it was like,
no.
So, that didn't work.
And so then, everyone has more or less accepted that Smalls is a dead man at this point.
Yeah.
Like, we've done everything we could. So, Smalls has a terrible dream. But Benny has a dream where Babe Ruth comes to speak to him.
He comes back from the dead.
And is like, hey kid, just jump over there and get it. And the thing is, it's like, this guy does not look like Babe Ruth. Not at all. Like, it was, Like, and you could tell he had a fake nose. Like, they tried to make him look like Babe Ruth. And it was like, you did not do a good job in making him look like Babe Ruth. But Bad Babe Ruth is like, you know, this is the best your life is going to get. This is your moment to shine, kid, at 11 years old or whatever, getting a ball from this guy's backyard.
So, Babe Ruth gives him a pep talk, and so the next day they're like, alright, let's meet at the Sandlot. So they all run to the Sandlot. Benny puts on his new flyers.
Yeah, flyers.
Which every kid knows makes you run fast. Like that. I was like, dude. Thank you, voiceover. So he puts on his new shoes. He leaps over the fence. Gets the ball. And the dog charges at him. So he runs, jumps over the fence. And this bloody dog leaps all the way over the fence. And then Benny takes off running. So the dog takes off running. And then everyone else takes off running.
Yeah.
So now it's just a
Everyone's running around the town.
Yeah. So now it's just a series of running through the town. So they run, like, through an alley. Then they run through the movie theater.
Playing the movie The Wolfman from 1941. And then the lady in it, where she's like, there's just, like, the inserts they used to kill, like, to show that the movie they're playing, where she's going through, like, you can kill it with a silver knife, or a silver bullet, or a stick, with a silver handle. It's like, okay, we get it. Like, silver. Silver kills them.
But yeah, so she's basically like, oh, the wolf, beware the wolf, and then...
Then guess who goes right through the screen.
Yeah, so the dog jumps, like, through the screen, rest of the screen. Then they run through, like, the pool. Then they run through, like, a Founders Day parade. And
with a giant cake.
And so it's basically just a series of them causing havoc and running around the neighborhood. So finally Benny tells all the guys, go to the Sandlot. So they all the kids are in the Sandlot. And then they see Benny just, like, hauling, running around. Hercules bites into his shirt, rips his shirt. And then Benny leaps over the wall, goes back into the backyard, and the dog
follows,
hits the fence, and somehow gets trapped under the fence.
Yeah.
So he knocks the entire fence down on top of them.
And then Smalls walks directly over the dog to the other side, and him and Benny lift up the fence, free the dog. Now the dog loves Smalls. Happy times, yay! And he bequeaths the boys all of the balls that have gone into
the buried them in the yard.
And so you get the nice voiceover like, now we can play forever. Like, oh, yay. Everyone is happy.
So they bring Hercules.
The dog's name is Hercules.
The dog's name is Hercules. So they bring the dog back to the owner.
Yeah.
And the owner is James Earl Jones.
Yes, you just want to give a big old hug.
Yes, Mufasa right there.
Hug him.
So they bring it back to James Earl Jones, and they're like,
"Dark bloody bear."
They're like, "We have your dog," and so they give him the dog back. And then it turns out James Earl Jones used to play like pro baseball and knew Babe Ruth.
Yeah, and then got hit in the head with a ball and lost his eyesight. He's blind. So he gives Smalls a ball that was signed by the entire 1927 Yankees.
So, like, Lou Gehrig was on there, and Babe Ruth. Like,
so,
it's a huge deal.
Very big deal.
Because
he knows
Hercules had chewed up the other one. It was beyond recognition.
It was bad. And he's like, oh, this kid's dead. Gotta help this kid out.
So he gives him the ball, and then for exchange, he's like, you guys have to come back here every week and talk to me about baseball.
Yeah.
And then you see Smalls giving his stepdad back, giving him the new ball and explaining what happens.
And they get along just
fine. And Dennis Leary grounds it for a week.
Yep.
And then you see them all playing baseball.
And then I think it's really sad at the end because they say, like, when every kid left, they never replaced him. They just kept playing like he wasn't there. And then Benny is the last one who leaves, and he's just playing baseball by himself in the Sandlot.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm always like, that's sad. Because at the end, it was just Smalls and Benny. Like, Smalls was the last one to move away. So it's just like, pitching and hidden, you know, I just like, oh, there's a bittersweet element to that, but you, Everyone goes around and it's like, this is what everyone ended up doing with their lives. One kid got really into the 60s and was never seen again. Which also, because, like, this was set in 62. And so this kid is, like, 11, you know? So this means that he disappeared at, like, 17, 18. Got really into the 60s in high school and then just, like, peaced out.
No, like, it's all, like, really weird, like, endings. Like, it's, like, two of them became contractors, one became a bungee dude.
Yeah.
And then the big reveal is Benny went on to become a pro baseball player.
Yes, and Smalls is the announcer at that stadium. He plays for the LA Dodgers. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And apparently, other fun fact, older and younger Benny are played by brothers. Yeah, Mike and Pablo, Vitar, V-I-T-A-R. So Mike was Benny, and he was also in the Mighty Ducks 2 and 3. And he was only acting between 1991 and 1997. And, you know, so he was a child actor, and he got a couple of big movies, and it was like enough. But his older brother was playing older him.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So, which I also think is weird, because I've always thought, like, this is terrible casting. They don't look a thing alike.
Right.
Like, they're related. So.
Whoopsie.
Yep. Whoopsie-doops. I think it's just the mustache and the hair combo, though. You know? Bad decisions are made.
Yeah, it is poor. So, any other fun facts, Debbie?
Well, hold on. No. I mean, like, the, you know, the fun facts of, like, in Benny's dream, Babe Ruth, like, takes a baseball card. And it's like, I don't know why, but can I have this? And then he takes Hank Aaron's card, who went on to break Babe Ruth's home run record. There's, like, little baseball slips. Like, if you're a baseball fan, I don't think it's really funny. And then I guess, like, the photo, there's a picture that they photoshopped James Earl Jones' face in with Babe Ruth and Lou Gehrig. But the real person in that was Jimmy Fox, who was a real player at that time. Yeah.
Cool.
Yep. That's all the fun facts I got.
Alright, so what happens if someone came over to you at a baseball game and was like, oh my god, this is just like the Sandlot. And you're like,
there's a dog! Oh my god, there's a dog in the stadium!
And you're like, oh, okay, I guess so. But you don't know because you haven't seen it. So what can you say to, like, be on par with this person?
Well, I mean, it's like, I think there are certain lines you should know. Like, you should know the marshmallow thing where it's like, you know, put the chocolate on the gram. Like, that thing you should know forever. And then, like, you're killing me, Smalls. You know, there are just, like, certain lines that are big. I think you should know the basic plot of, like, they need to get a ball back from a dog.
Do you need to know that, Bob?
I think so.
I don't think there is a plot.
No, it's like, you should know the big thing of it, though, like, the development, like, the giant pickle that they keep referencing, the main focal point of the story. It's like, that. This is the story arc where it's leading up to them losing the ball, and then they get the ball. Like, that's, you know,
the plot of this. They build it up so much so that you're expecting, like, something incredible. And I was just like, oh, alright. Like, I wasn't that...
It was a big deal, man.
Yeah, but they were just like, it changed our lives. We've never lived the same.
Well, because, like, you know, Benny became, like, a neighborhood legend or whatever. I'm pretty sure, like, you know, as a 10, 11-year-old, that was probably, like, the hugest deal. And I'm sure no summer ever lived up to that. Because it was, like, you know, just when you're a kid, like, that would have been incredibly epic.
Yeah.
And this is also told from the point of view of the guy where it's, like, this is the first summer he was living there. These are the first friends he made. But, yeah, so no, like, you know, get the ball back from the dog.
Well, what's one more?
I'm having a hard time thinking of one more. Maybe you should know who Babe Ruth is.
I'll do that.
Thank you. Like, I think you should have a basic understanding of baseball.
Yeah. So, overall, I think I know your answer. Would you watch this again? Would you recommend it?
It's fun, you know, or it's like, it's good fun.
Yeah.
It's a fun movie. Watch it with the kids. Like,
yeah, I think
it's good. The profanity's in here, because they say shit 2 times.
Which is needed a lot more.
It's needed a lot more, but they say it twice. And then Benny, when Smalls gives him the baseball, Benny randomly just goes, bitchin'. Like, that was unexpected. Yeah, so it's like, you know, family-friendly fun. It's a good one.
Yeah.
You would not watch this again, I'm assuming.
No, I don't think I'd watch it again. I think maybe if I watched it as a kid, it might be a little different.
Mm.
If I watched it, like, with a family, or, like, if I showed, like, my brother's girlfriend's son, like, this film, I would definitely watch it with him.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like if you have a kid who's, you know, turning 10, 12, 11.
And I think if you have kids, this is a good movie to watch with kids.
Yeah. Like, if I saw it when I was a kid, I think it would be a little different.
And I think a lot of people our age, like, saw this when they were kids and love it. It's definitely how it's, like, you know, it's a cult favorite.
Yeah.
You know,
I think it's,
following.
You know, it's a, like, a way, way watered down Bad News Bears meets the Wonder World. Oh, that's a lot more cursing.
Yes, I assumed anything would be a lot more cursing. They say the word pickle to describe a problem.
Yeah, I can't say that I've absolutely hated the film. Like, I definitely laughed, and the dog jumping did scare me. Yeah, I mean, I think it's a great film to watch, like, while you're in a group and, you know, you can all talk and laugh during it. I don't think it's a quiet, turn the lights off
watch
movie.
By yourself
movies, no. But yeah, I'd recommend watching it if you have some time. Yeah, so that's
The Sandlot. So this is our last episode for January. In February, we have another theme. Tell us about our theme. Kind of. It's a loose theme, actually.
We're not exactly sure what the next theme is, but for right now, the first two are going to be Terry Gilliam directed.
Yeah, so we're going to try to find a Terry Gilliam movie that actually hasn't seen.
That you've seen.
Yeah, that I have seen,
right.
But actually hasn't.
So that's our part.
Yeah.
So February we're going to be focusing on Terry Gilliam directed. We might have to go, like, acted or wrote for me, but
first one is Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
On the first,
which is directed by Terry Gilliam, stars Benicio del Toro and Johnny Depp, based on the novel by Hunter S. Thompson.
Yeah.
So that's going to be our first one, which drops on February 1st.
Yep.
And so we're going to do that one. I'm excited. I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah.
Hence why we're
doing it. Oh, yeah, hence why we're doing it. I was like, yeah.
So, as always, this is
You Haven't Seen. I'm Debbie.
And I'm Ashley. And as always, be sure to check us out on Tumblr at youhaventseen-podcast.tumblr.com. Mm-hmm. You can also follow us on Twitter at YHS_podcast. And please be sure to like us on iTunes, rate, review, download, tell your friends about us. If you think we missed something on The Sandlot, you can let us know, drop us a line. So thank you for listening, and we'll see you on February 1st with Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas.
Woo!